About a man named Jed, a poor mountaineer, barely kept his family fed. And then one day he was shooting at some food, and up through the ground come a bubbling crude. Oil, that is, black gold, Texas tea. Well, the first thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire. The kinfolk said, Jed, move away from there. Said, California is the place you ought to be. So they loaded up the truck and they moved to Beverly Hills, that is, swimming pools, movie stars. The Beverly Hillbilly.
Well, boys and girls, that's the way it's done. Ha, ha, ha. Only not Jeb, but T.T., man. Hey, we're in the bunker here, still in the bunker, right here in Warsaw, Indiana, or outside Warsaw, Indiana, among the trees. Hey, it is February the 22nd, 2017, and this month's almost over. Beautiful, it's warm, very warm now. It's about 60 to 70 degrees, but it's going to get cold on the way, Kyan, I'll tell you that. Well, I did an interview way back with somebody in El Paso, Texas, quite a long time ago. I forget the exact date. But I'm going to play that back for you today because I think it was a pretty good interview. So let's see how it goes.
I was betrayed by my own party.
Right, the Democrats. Imagine that. The Democrats decided to back the Republican candidate because the white supremacist guy got the Democratic nomination. Wow.
And actually it was technically unconstitutional against the law because the people of the district, over 60,000 people, voted for me. And at the time, I was the leader of the Klan in California.
And this was where? Southern California, like around San Diego?
That was the 43rd Congressional District, and at the time, it was the largest congressional district in the United States.
So you should have been a congressman.
Well, I had a lot of problems. The opponent was a seven-term congressman. He was in the hip pocket of all the agribusiness out there, and he had hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. I spent $25,000 on my entire campaign, so it was always an uphill battle.
Okay, but it's, the KKK guy's not going to get elected to Congress, though.
I don't know. I went so far as being backed by the Imperial County Mexican Consul down in Imperial County because I was trying to reinforce the farm home loan business there, and where people making less than $12,000 had a right to have 250 acres of land in the Imperial Valley.
I think those people backed you because they couldn't read English.
No, we actually campaigned together on that issue, on the land for small poor people, and of course the big business, the big newspapers wouldn't back it at all. Iron Pants Copley of the San Diego Union, they only talked plan, they never talked about my plan. So anyhow, but that's the way it goes in the United States when you think you really have your vote counts.
All right, Tom, let's talk Survivor Cook Island last night. The tribes merged, so they are now desegregated. And does this mean you're not going to watch the show anymore?
The minute they did that, I turned off the TV.
Turned off the TV. why, Tom? You could have. You probably knew that was coming eventually, right?
Sure. I figured they wouldn't be so blatant about it as to run two shows to get their ratings up and then go right to this. Now, probably they shot two different segments is probably what they did. Because it looks like, because the black team failed miserably twice in a row, that the heat got too hot from a lot of sections of the country, especially self-hating whites.
Okay, what happened? What self-hating whites? What Tom is talking about, Tom Metzger from the Aryan, not ARM, you're white. What's WAR?
We changed. It was White Aryan Resistance. It is now called the Insurgent. We think that more accurately fits the time.
All right. So in the first episode, they broke up along ethnic lines,
mm-hmm.
and the African American tribe lost the challenge, had to vote somebody off.
Well, how did the Hispanics do?
Well, they didn't do too badly. Of course, at least one of the Hispanics, probably two of them, I would consider white. So they had sort of a mixed bag there.
Why would you consider them white?
Well, because they looked white. They had light eyes, you know, light blue, green eyes, and lighter skin, and had the cranial structure was...
Oh, my God.
Have
you ever been
to
Mexico City where there's a lot of light-skinned Mexicans?
Well, I'm not. See, I don't judge Mexico by a nationality. If you're white and you're from Mexico, you're my comrade, and they're all over the Mexican TV. I'll tell you, I watch more blondes on Mexican TV than I can find on American TV.
Okay, so you're saying the Hispanic tribe probably did as good as they did because they had a couple of people that were actually white.
I'm not necessarily saying that. I'm just saying it was somewhat mixed. Now, the Asian team, that was difficult for them because there's a lot of differences between the subgroups of the Asian race. Now, you saw the tall, muscular Korean. I think he was pretty good.
I think he's gay.
You think he is?
I think he might be gay.
Well, I don't know. I don't look so much into that, but...
Didn't the KKK hate gay people even more than they hated blacks or Jews?
Well, I'm not into KKK. I haven't been since 1980. I have a lot of other issues that go before the gay thing. As far, I don't call them gay anyhow. They're homosexuals. But I don't look under my bed for homosexuals. They're way down the list. The big corporations and this crummy war in Iraq and all that kind of stuff and the problems that the white race has are far, far more important than some gays.
All right, so in the second week, the Hispanic tribe lost, Susie, the challenge.
Uh-huh.
But that's only because they intentionally threw it because there was this big fat guy they wanted to get out of their tribe.
Uh-huh.
And if they hadn't intentionally thrown the challenge, which tribe would have lost, Tom, last week?
I forget now.
The black tribe just barely beat the Hispanic tribe, even though the Hispanic tribe was trying to throw the contest.
Right.
I like Billy because he was going to drag the Hispanic team down to two. Billy is a typical cholo, lowrider type Mexican that we see invading the country.
Holy moly.
Now, who was
Billy, the one that got voted off?
Billy was the fat cholo Mexican.
I like that guy. It's the kind of guy I'd like to hang out with. He liked heavy metal music.
Well, not necessarily against heavy metal music, but he said he was into heavy metal. I would doubt whether he had much of an up-and-coming band. And of course, the first thing he wanted to do was fell in love with a white girl. That was his first thing he wanted to do. Forget the island. Forget the survival. I want a white woman.
What?
This guy was like a heavy guy, but he seemed real lovable, Tom. He seemed lovable to me. Kind of like the Mexican guy on Lost is what he reminded me.
Well, I could go down to TJ and we could have a beer with him, but as long as he gets south of the border, well, we could be friends.
Well, he sounded to me like he was born in the United States.
Born and bred in the United States, man.
Don't make any difference. They need to go.
Okay.
Okay.
And it was one of the... Susie, what's wrong?
I think it's funny how ignorant people are.
Well, they're only ignorant because you disagree with them. That's a typical social Marxist argument. That if you don't agree with somebody, they're stupid and ignorant, and it's a very poor form of debate.
Susie, Tom's accusing you of poor form in the debate format here.
Well, I just...
Why don't you respond by saying, why don't you go the hell back to Europe? That would be a good response. Tom, that would make a better response, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, it sure would, yeah. And in fact, if I was a young man, I'd probably go to Russia right now, but I wouldn't speak the language. Russia's probably a new frontier for the white race.
And if you probably went there, they would say, well, who is this American? Get him out of here.
No, they wouldn't.
No way, just like you're telling.
Many of my friends have gone there and taught, gave speeches and everything. David Duke's been all over Russia, and we're quite popular over there. In fact, they just had a big riot out there in northeast Russia where they Chechens, the non-white Chechens, came into town and started pushing around. They killed a white guy, and the people rose up and beat the hell out of them, run them out of town.
So, that's what we need, a little more rancor based on race. That has hurt Europe at all. All right, we keep getting away from the main point, the truly important point, and that is the merger of the tribes last night on Cook Island.
That was, that was that other tribe that you didn't see that caused that.
Which tribe was that?
Jewish tribe.
The Jewish tribe.
That have the inordinate influence on the media, and they play that game.
Good heavens.
They have to have social Marxism, race mixing, to dumb us all down to the lowest common denominator.
All right, so the tribes have blended. Here is what one of the black tribe members, Nate, who is a younger African-American guy, here's what he had to say on the show after the tribes desegregated.
Happy birthday, Everett. It's like they took us out of the ghetto and took us to Bel Air. We have been so weak and depleted, and today we got to throw off those dainty yellow buffs, and now we're in the tribe.
Okay, so the black guy is glad that he's not in the black tribe anymore.
Well, I think it's very interesting, that statement, they took him out of the ghetto and put him in Bel Air just because they put some white people or put him in a white, more white team. That's a very racial comment.
Hey, I want to, we got another guest on the line who is with the African American Student Union at New Mexico State University. So let's bring him on.
Is there any room for African Americans?
This is Robert Linick, the African American Student Union at NMSU. Robert, you've heard some of what Tom Metzger's been saying.
Yeah, I heard everything that he was trying to say. I'm not actually off. I'm part of the community advisory team.
What?
At the African American Student Union over in Massachusetts.
Boy, you're really a minority.
I listen to what Tommy said, everything that's coming out of Tommy's mouth, and I got one thing. One thing I can agree on.
What
is, they merged the tribes, I turned off the TV too.
You were upset as well when they merged the tribes. Why is that, Mr. Linux?
Well, let me tell you what, man. You got gold gems, both. You got folks coming out there with a big old self-eating grin on his face. And he says, drop your buffs, because, wow, now you're going to merge. Now you're going to have a new tribe. It's time for you to be desegregated.
You know, this sounds like
hallelujah!
This sounds like forget a white man.
Forget about the March on Washington. No, this was a great day in black history.
Sounds like a white man pretending to be black to me.
Crap, man.
You must be a real minority in New Mexico with all the Mexicans down there. I didn't even know.
Yeah, I was with the Air Force for 25 years protecting your cracker butt.
Well, I don't need any Air Force protecting my cracker butt as long as I got a 44 on my belt.
44? Guess what? I'm going to take that out of your cold, dead hand.
Aren't you a separatist?
I am not a separatist. I have my own student union. I back up those young people. I help supply money for parties. We serve on the community advisory committee. We always operate in January and February, making sure we got Black History Month all over the campus.
You better get your bags packed, because pretty soon the Mexicans will be totally empowered in New Mexico, and they're not going to allow any blacks down there when they take over.
I tell you what, man, I'd rather come in with a new crop and be able to handle things, man.
You know,
I'm a little bit tired. I swear, my sister, she called up and said, you called this radio station a couple weeks ago talking about Survivor, and I've been waiting for this chance. I'm ready to get Rambo.
Well, these Mexicans are driving blacks out of their homes and neighborhoods and jobs. You know that? The Mexican population destroyed the strongest black union in Los Angeles, the janitors union, and they used to make about $15 an hour. Now the Mexicans are in there making $6 an hour. So the black race has really missed the boat when it comes to Mexicans.
It sounds to me like you're trying to play the one race against the other race, is what it sounds like to me.
Why not? Everybody else
has always been trying to do since the beginning.
But the point is,
trying to do on Survivor to try to get some numbers.
The point is whether I'm trying to do that or not, it's the truth. The Mexicans are running the blacks out of their neighborhoods all over L.A. and all over the
country. Yeah. What'd you say, man?
Because the black leaders, because the black leaders are traitors to their own race. I'm a racial.
We are going to the suburbs.
I'm a racial separatist, and that's the way I believe, and I think a hell of a lot of black people agree with me.
Every little white girl that's singing Kanye West is a fit for us.
You're going to have to get a better imitation of a black man there, because you're not a black man. You're a white man pretending to be black.
Now, how could you know that?
I've heard it done 100 times. I run a radio show myself, you know. Go to resist.com. I do radio talk shows, and I could spot them in a second.
Robert is our caller. Robert, he says that you are not a black man. You are a white man trying to sound like a black man. Is there any truth to these allegations?
That is not true. That is an outrageous lie. I mean, how do I know we're talking to a white man right now?
Yeah, how do we know you're white? Well, I've seen him on Geraldo before. He is white.
Well, I'm sure the real man's on Geraldo is white.
This might be a...
This man you got on the radio.
Well, I have talked to blacks on the radio that spoke perfect English, but they're few and far between.
Well, I'm sorry, Condoleezza Rice ain't available right now.
Well, Condoleezza Rice is not my idea of much of a black person either. She got us in to help get us in this war, and she's a liar and a criminal right along with the Bush crime family.
How about Brian Gumbel? Can he speak English good?
As long as the Jews tell him what to say.
Sidney Poitier, he was good.
Well, he was well-spoken, but he was a race mixer, a social Marxist.
Wow, all right. Robert, do you want to defend the fact that you're black against Tom Metzger, the white supremacist?
Why the hell would I want to try to convince some cracker what I am?
Actually, you do a disservice to the black race, because there's thousands of blacks that we could have put on here that would have carried on a very intelligent debate, and we could have gotten someplace like a lot of the black nationalist groups I speak to. They're black separatists, and we get along quite well.
All right. Well, listen, you're not going to watch Survivor anymore because they mix the races up?
I never watched it before, because my idea of Survivor is putting a guy like Dolph Lundgren on the team. And you remember that Rocky II when he killed the black guy in a ring and he said, if he dies,
that's
he dies.
That's Rocky IV. Mondo the Monster Medina points out rightly, Tom, that is Rocky IV, not Rocky.
We can't even get his Rocky movies right.
Yeah. Rocky IV, well, if he dies, he dies. I love that scene.
You really have a thing for the Russians, don't you? You just love the Russians.
Yeah, I do, because they haven't been inflicted with this black worship like they got in the United States, where every black is some kind of hero and we should all emulate them and all that. But Russians don't have the blacks over there. They weren't raised that way. They're not afraid of the kids in the United States. White kids now are afraid of blacks. It's unbelievable. I can't believe it.
All right. Well, if you're not going to watch Survivor anymore, I don't know... We were going to have you on to review The Survivor, but you say you're not going to watch anymore.
No, I didn't watch before, but I would have watched if they'd have stayed racial. But I knew they'd throw a curb, and their ratings are going to go down the tube now.
Parting words, Robert Lennox from the New Mexico State Student Union. You were accused of being a white man masquerading as a black man. Any final words?
I do not have anything I want to say. All I've got to say is that... The show was racist. They threw out a black man, a proud young black man, the first episode, and I tell you what, that's going to follow that man for the rest of his life.
Well, wait a minute. It was the white ladies, or the black ladies, that threw him out because they had more brains than he did, and that's a problem in this country. The black women have...
You know how hard it is for black women to not risen up
and beating the hell out of these guys. Their black husbands all running around after white women.
I think what he's saying is they couldn't control their bitches, Robert, is what it sounds like to me.
But the black women are the ones that are really getting screwed in this country.
All right, we just got a call from our Jewish overlords who say we have to wrap this up and take our break, all right?
Okay.
Happy Yom Kippur to both of you gentlemen over the weekend, and thank you.
Thank you.
Father God.
All right.
You take care now.
757 and...
Well, now time to show when we get a call from Igor calling, reporting in from California. Things are getting a little hot out there, and Igor's calling us from Fallbrook, California. He's our eyes and ears out there in southern California. Here we go.
Report from Igor on our phone lines here. It's been a couple of weeks, and I've heard from that damn Chewy, and I've heard from that damn Raghead and all these others. Igor, what the hell's going on out there? Is the town totally collapsing since I left?
Master, let me tell you something. The town has become Mexico. I can't believe it. Everywhere you look, there's a Mexican illegal there. And I've got to make a confession, and I'm going to do it in all honesty in front of your radio audience, which is the world, because I don't give a shit anymore. Guess what I've been doing the last couple of weeks?
What have you been doing, Igor?
Oh, I've been hooking up with Abdullah, the A-Rep guy, you know, with the scimitar.
Yeah.
We've been going down to McGonagall Canyon, and because I've got upper body strength, I hold down these illegal Mexicans, and he beheads them. We've beheaded over 200 illegal Mexicans, and I don't care about it because they're just Mexicans, you know what I mean, and they're illegal.
Wow, what a combination, you and Abdullah. Now, is he wrapped with all that dynamite when he goes down there in case something goes wrong?
He always blows a couple of sticks off to cover our escape, our exfiltration, as he calls it. But let me tell you what's going on. This guy is planning to smuggle a atomic bomb across the open Mexican border into this country, and I went to the cops, okay, because Abdullah is trying to rat me off,
yeah,
and I'm going to rat him off.
Wait a minute, but Abdullah said he secretly was going to take you in the car up there to L.A. with a briefcase atomic bomb in the trunk. And
he's going to kill me.
Yeah, well, he's going to strap you in the seat and leave you there, and he's going to hightail it back to the border.
Listen, here's how dumb this fucking A-Rap guy is. He's a guy from Saudi Arabia. He's an Osama bin Laden lookalike. He's got a towel head on his head. He's got a turban. He's got that long beard like Osama. He looks just like Osama. He's got dynamite strapped to his chest. He wears long flowing robes, and he carries a scimitar. And he kills people, and the cops do nothing about it.
Well, did you ask him whether it's true about Osama bin Laden as dead? He's one of his relatives, you know.
Listen, Master, I haven't had the time to do all of that. This guy and I have been killing illegal Mexicans left and right.
Well,
and as I told you, I don't care because...
But the train keeps rolling on down to San Antonio. But the train keeps rolling.
What the hell's going on here? Who in the hell is this guy?
My mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns.
It's pretty shitty singing.
Shot a man in Reno just to watch him die.
What are you interrupting Igor for? If you hear me, Igor, call me back. You need some more practice there, shit kicker. Johnny would be mortified.
From a fancy dining car, they're probably drinking coffee and smoking pig's gum. Well, I know I had it coming. I know I can't be free. But those people gave a move, and that's what tortures me.
Igor, if you hear me, call back in. I don't know how in the hell this happened. There we go. I got you back now.
Yeah. No. You
Crawford, whatever the fuck his name was.
No,
and here's what he said. He said, if you're a black Negro man and you can kill a white woman or a white man, you're scot-free. If you kill a black person, well, we got a problem with you. Then, if you're an illegal Mexican, well, you got a free ride. And then if you're an Arab terrorist, and this, Tom, I'm not kidding you. This guy is, I have killed over 200 people by holding them down while he gave his scimitar, their next taste of the kiss of his scimitar, as he says. And you know what? The cops do nothing, and we drive around with heads on, severed heads on top of our heads, and the cops do nothing because they're afraid of being accused of racially profiling.
Wow. Man, that sounds cool. Now, look, you're in the running for Aryan of the Year Award with that many dead wetbacks.
Oh, thanks. I was hoping you'd say something like that. You know, I was so disappointed. I was afraid to call in because I thought, oh, maybe the master will get mad at me for killing illegal Mexicans.
Well, look, let me ask you another thing. Now, when after each time he takes that scimitar and severs a wetback's head, does he do that Akbar stuff?
He screams Allah, and I'm the guy that has to hold these fuckers down.
Does he scream Allah's great?
Yeah, he does. He goes, Allah, you know, all of that stuff.
Yeah, well.
Can't believe it. And the cops do nothing.
They don't care, huh?
Hey, and that guy, Chewy Gonzalez Ruiz, let me tell you about him. He's walking around town with three young girls, one 12-year-old and two 13-year-olds. They're all about 7 months pregnant. They got these big bellies. He's rubbing them in public. And the cops are doing nothing. What do you think would happen to me if I impregnated three young teenage girls?
Well, I'll tell you what, that would be a miracle, wouldn't it?
God damn it.
Well, let me say, now look, the last two nights on television, one was Cold Case and the other was No Trace, I guess it was, or No Crime, something about crime, but anyhow, both of them were about child molesters, and both of them are white. You never see them put anything about a Mexican being a child molester, do you?
No, you don't, and as a matter of fact, I live in a town where every Mexican father impregnates his 11-year-old daughter, and I can't stand it anymore. I got to do what you did. I got to get the hell out of here. This has become Mexico.
Well, I'll tell you, maybe if you move down to El Paso, things would be getting better.
Oh, man. Or maybe, what's that town, Lubbock, where Buddy Holly came from?
Yeah, right. Okay, Igor, it's good to get a report from you. I'm sad that you're having to live around all that crap out there. But on the other hand, you're doing a damn good job for the white race.
Thanks. And guess what? This weekend, listen, we kill about 40, 50, 60 guys a week.
You tell old Towelhead that he's doing good work there, and as long as he don't try to take you to L.A. and strap you in a car and leave and detonate that bomb, he's all right, okay?
Well, here's the problem I have with that, Tom, and this is my last point, and then I'll let you go. You know, an atom bomb going off in L.A., that was applied by Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, who got it from Kim Jong-il in Korea, who got it from Vladimir Putin in Russia, who got it from George Bush. I think this whole thing... have you been listening to the news? You listen to the news more than anybody. You're the master. You've heard all of these things, the interrogation procedures. You know what Abdullah and these Arabs just do? They catch a guy and they behead him. They don't give him a Bible and make sure he's got a nice place to play basketball.
Yeah. Well, you know,
what's wrong with this? It's a world turned upside down.
One thing that caught my mind, Igor, was if they do detonate an A-bomb in L.A., that wouldn't be all that bad. That'd be what I call urban renewal, wouldn't you?
Well, you know, You told me something a long, long time ago, as Tom Petty once said, and it was that, you know, an A-bomb going off in L.A. might hurt a lot of white people, and I'm concerned about the white race. I don't give a shit about illegal Mexicans. I don't give a shit about A-rats, cowheads. I don't give a shit about black Negro men, fucking white women. Oh, you get my drift.
Well, what we're going to have to do is give the whites in L.A. 48 hours to get out of town before he detonates that bomb.
Well, I guess he better strap me in then.
I mean, if they're not going to get... If
you give them a 48-hour warning and it don't take you seriously, there's nothing we can do about it.
Tom, I went to the cops on this Abdullah guy, and they are doing nothing. It's politicians that are afraid. They're afraid of being politically incorrect, and they are fucking us in the ass.
Well, Chewy's probably... Chewy Louise is probably pretty happy because now there's an overflow. There's so many of the wetbacks that's probably driving the price down to where he can't make any money. So Chewy's probably happy you're doing away with the surplus.
Well, Chewy is getting a second house now. He's got 100 illegal Mexicans living up there a couple of blocks away from where he used to live on Via Cassandra. And now he's getting a second house, and they're giving it to him no money down.
Oh,
now, could you imagine that happening to me?
Well, that's the banks.
The banks are right in on it. They love them. They love them. The banks, the auto dealers, the beer salesman, all that kind of Kmart, they all love wetbacks.
I've got a question for you. How does an illegal Mexican who has no Social Security, no employment history, who's making supposedly $5 an hour, how does he support a family of eight and pay rent in a house and come up with a $1,000 car payment? Because
it's
every
simple.
Illegal in town... It's got a $50,000 car now.
It's simple. They forge their papers and they get on welfare. They're on assistance. Either that or the Catholic Church or some church is taking care of them. That's what's going on because...
Oh,
go
down to Escondido and look who's standing in the welfare line. It's not too many blacks, but
it's all Mexicans. And hell, you can tell they're wet as hell, but they get one relative and then they're all...
Piling the
welfare.
Tom,
I'm so sick of it. I just
want to
leave this.
Well, that's not the greatest tape in the world, but we had fun making it, so I hope you enjoy it. Yeah, they were averaging about 200 wetbacks a night out there in the canyons of Southern California. And Abdullah with a scimitar, man. He can swing that thing and take a head off in just one swish. I'll be back tomorrow. What is tomorrow? What the hell is tomorrow? I don't know. Hell, it's Tuesday or Wednesday. Yeah, we'll see you. Terrible Tommy's off and clear and looking for trouble. That's right.
I picked up a little soundbite from... a film, True Detective. You might have seen it, Matthew McConaughey, and the other one, I forgot his name, but anyhow, I thought this was pretty amusing, so I cut the clip out of the film to run it for you. And I forgot to tell you, this was these two detectives had gone to this tent revival meeting. They're looking for a guy. But the conversation between the two detectives is very interesting. One is agnostic, maybe atheist, but pretty logically speaking. The other one's sort of nominal Christian, but he's a rounder, he's a whoremonger, he's a drunk. So let's listen to this interplay between these two detectives as they're standing at the back of this crowd out of nowhere's land in a revival tent.
Where is natural? Parish FD said the church burned down 4 months earlier. No prints. Put out an APB on Friends of Christ. A week later, they were in Franklin. Revival ministry. Old time religion. You can imagine what Mr. Charisma thought of that.
Who do you think the average IQ that this group is, huh?
Can you see Texas up there on your high horse? What do you know about these people?
Just observation and deduction. See a propensity for obesity, poverty, a yen for fairy tales. Folks putting what few bucks they do have in the little wicker baskets being passed around. I think it's safe to say that nobody here is going to be splitting the atom, Marty.
You see that? Your fucking attitude. Not everybody wants to sit alone in an empty room beating off the murder manuals. Some folks enjoy community, the common good.
Yeah, but the common good's got to make up fairy tales, and it's not good for anybody.
Your sorrows pin you to this place. They divide you from what your heart knows. And there are a lot of good hearts out there. I'm looking out there. I'm seeing a lot of good hearts out there. I see a lot of good out there.
I mean, can you imagine if people didn't believe what things they get up to?
Exact same thing they do now. Just out in the open.
Bullshit. There'd be a fucking freak show of murder and debauchery, and you know it.
If the only thing keeping a person decent is the expectation of divine reward, then, brother, that person is a piece of shit. And I'd like to get as many of them out in the open as possible.
Well, I guess your judgment is infallible, piece of shit-wise. You think that notebook is a stone tablet?
What to say about life? You gotta get together. Tell yourself stories that violate every law of the universe. Just to get through the goddamn day. What's that say about your reality, Marty?
When you get to talking like this, you sound panicked.
You think it's all a scam, huh? All them folks? They just wrong?
Oh, yeah. Been that way since one monkey looked at the sun and told the other monkey, he said, for you to give me your fucking share. People. So goddamn frail, they'd rather put a coin in a wishing well than buy dinner.
Jesus Christ, your arms open and closed. The echoes of my life can never contain to see the truth about you. You move the feather in the ash, you touch the leaf with its flame.
Transference of fear and self-loathing to an authoritarian vessel. It's catharsis. He absorbs their dread with his narrative. Because of this, he's effective in proportion to the amount of certainty he can project. Certain linguistic anthropologists think that religion is a language virus that rewrites pathways in the brain, dulls critical thinking.
Well, I don't use $10 words as much as you, but for a guy who sees no point in existence, you sure fret about it an awful lot. And you still sound panicked.
At least I'm not racing to a red light.
Now there's another white man. You guys, you know what I'm going to tell you? You guys tickle me. I'm going to explain something to you. See, I watch a white audience. I study them. And black performers, white people, they talk about Chinese, they talk about Mexicans, they talk about Indians, they talk about everybody. And you guys, your language, your thing, you're into it. Because I study, you're just laughing like you stare, and you just laugh. You have no sense of humor on you. You just, your whole body, you're into it. But the minute you talk about white folks, that bullshit just... Make that nigger. Stop saying nigger. I'm getting a nigger headache. I can't tell. Make the nigger stop saying nigger. White folks made up nigger and don't want me to say it. Ain't that a bitch? You made it up. You shouldn't have made it up. You fucked up. You shouldn't have made up nigger. And you made up a song to go with it. Please don't make me sing the song. Eeny, meeny, miny, you know the goddamn song I'm talking about. And you change the words when you see black folks. Catch a tiger. Have they gone? Hey, so you fucked up. I say nigga all the time. I say nigga 100 times every morning. It makes my teeth white. Nigga, 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 nigga. I say it, you think it, what a small white world. But you don't have any problem saying Arnold Schwarzenegger. I may not know about the space program, but I know nigga when I hear it. You guys love saying his name. Schwarzenegger. Oh, Arnold nigger. Oh, Mr. Nigger. Schwarzenegger. I didn't say it. I was hoping he'd marry Shirley Temple Black and she'd be Mrs. Shirley Temple Black nigger, but it didn't work out that way. Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's the only white man to make a movie that scared the fuck out of me. Terminator, that shit scared me. I had nightmares for 6 months. A white man that wouldn't die, that fucked me up. I threw my knife at the screen. Stab that motherfucker, stab him! He just... It's great. It's wonderful. It's great. Damn. There's a bunch of niggas in here now. I like it like this. All the minorities. The white folks, it's okay that you came too. The brave white people came. Because, you know, white folks are sensitive. They're like little white rabbits. They'll get the fuck out of a place. You know that. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Then you got them ballsy white people. That nigger doesn't intimidate me. I'll stay till the sun rises. We'll see if this is a nigger vampire. Look at this white woman. Don't stare at me like that. This white lady, look how you're looking at me. I have jungle eyes. I don't miss shit. You are staring at me like I've landed from the planet Nigatoris. You should see your face. It's funny, but I like it. I like it. It's great. You're very pretty, and it's very nice. It's very pleasant. And he go kick your ass. Looking at that nigger. Maybe you a nigger. I don't want anybody white to be offended by me. Don't be offended. My parents are white. Please relax. And I have to keep you here long enough for my nigger friends to steal your car, so we'll be here for a minute. Listen, you do the jokes, we'll get the rides.